Ah, what a blessing. I'm like Brother Dustin. I think about them. They tell me, and this just boggles my mind, some of them stars are like hundreds of light years away. That means you turn the light on, and hundreds of years the light shows up. I mean, when we see the light from that star's already moved. That's how far away it is in our galaxy. And there's a multitude of galaxies. Man, that's unbelievable, isn't it? I can't even lay hope to that. And then you get past that and you got the third heaven. That's where God's at, and that's where we're going to be one of these days. Man, we're going somewhere. What a good God. What a powerful God we serve. Well, praise the Lord. I'm sure glad I know Him tonight. Well, I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Just give you a little thought tonight. We're going to go down and celebrate with Sister Alexis in a little bit. But I want to just bring you a little thought the Lord's put on my heart tonight. Brother Mike goes right along with what you said. Goes right along with it. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Now, let me turn this lapel mic on before Bob starts waving at me back here. There we go. We're looking in this part of 1 Samuel, we're looking at a young fella, a youngster. He's just a young fella. His name is Samuel. You know the story. We've been through it. I don't want to preach it again. If I start, I'll just get all stirred up on it again and maybe preach it to you. But Hannah couldn't have a child. She prayed. Eli espied her in the temple, thought she was drunk because she was praying with her. Her lips were moving, but she wasn't saying words. And of course, we know you can pray without verbally saying words. It's a cry of the heart. That's what prayer is. If you look in 1 Samuel 1 and 15, I love how she defines what she's doing. She says, I am a woman. And Hannah answered and said, he's accusing Eli, the priest, is accusing her of being drunk. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. Now I think it's as good a definition of prayer as you can get, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. I think that's prayer. Pouring out your soul before the Lord. And so she prayed, Eli blessed her to bring us up to chapter number 3. She had a son, and she promised the Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And I'll loan him or put him on loan to you for the rest of his life. And so the Lord gave her a son, and he honored her, and she honored him. She gave her son back. If you look in chapter 1, verse 23 through 28, she gives Samuel back to Eli, to be in the temple. And then she prays, and she thanks the Lord for what He's done. You would think when a mama gave her child up back to the Lord, put him in the house of God, you would think there would be great sadness. But Hannah rejoiced. She prayed and rejoiced at the same time. And when we give to the Lord, it brings joy. We just made that little truth known. More blessed to give than to receive. The Christian life is a life of giving. If you're not giving with your life, you're really not living the Christian life. It's a life of giving for the benefit of others. And so Hannah gave her son up. And we talked about the evil sons. Then as we got halfway, verse 12 of chapter 2, We changed families. We've been looking at Elkanah and Hannah's family. And now we began to look at Eli's family. And we found this out. The church was imperfect. The leadership was gone and had went downhill. And at mine, there were a lot of things going on in the house of God that shouldn't be going on, much like it is today. God's house ought to be a house with people in it who are holy people. Now, so many times, we're imperfect. I understand that. We're in the flesh. Many times in the house of God, there are people who are what we call hypocrites. They're one thing in the house of God and they're another outside the house of God. That's called a hypocrite. That word carries the idea of an actor, of playing a part. And so we see, and that's not the case with Eli. He has two sons. But we see that Eli's son just outwardly were committing sin. And I'm not going to go back through all this. But what he was doing, because of their sins, they were causing the people to turn from God. And I would just say this to you, if you're a fake, you're hurting somebody who needs God. That's right. You ought to be real. You ought to be big enough on your job if you're not living right. You ought to be big enough to tell them, look, I'm saved, but I'm not right with God. I believe that's what I do instead of hurt the cause of Christ. And there's some folks that would say this about some people on their job or in the school or wherever it's at. They would say this, if that's what being a Christian is all about, I don't want any part of it. That's just how it is. Because they know what they really are. We're to be lights in this world. We're to reflect our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His ambassadors. We're standing in His stead today. You need to take that serious. They didn't. The church was in havoc. People were turning from God. Verse 17 of chapter 2 and verse 24, the people were transgressing. They were causing the people to sin against God. But here's little Samuel, and he just lived. He just done right, if I can just say it that way. He just ministered in the house of God. Notice chapter 2, verse 11. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Look at verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And we made this point, I think, as we closed out on last week, that we can serve God regardless of what other people are doing. We can serve God. You can do right. You can do right. God will help you to do right. Regardless of what the world's doing, regardless of what the other churches are doing and those that's playing at this thing of serving God, you don't have to do that. You can do right. And so we made that little truth there. But I wanted to make one little point out of chapter 2 before I go home. In verse 27, a man of God comes to Eli. There's not many men of God, we're going to see in chapter 3. But a man of God comes to Eli, and this is what he says. Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in... Let me read that again. Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house. And I did choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me. And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel. Now here's what he's saying. I picked you to carry out my work. I started with your father and your tribe. You came on down. And I picked you. You're privileged. By the way, if God chooses you in a work, in His work, Can I just say this? You're privileged. It's not a burden. You ought not consider it a burden or a weight around your neck. But it's a privilege. God counts you faithful to do something in His Word. And my, He wants you doing something. I can say that. But verse 29, the prophet said, "Why God chose your father." And I think what he's saying, he's blessed you. Verse 29, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine altar." Now, who is he talking to at this point? He's talking to Eli, is he not? But he's saying this. Now, it's Eli's son that's committing the sin. And here's what he says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honors thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat." Now that word "ye" is a plural word. If he had said "thou," it'd be a singular word, but he said "ye." The point I'm trying to make, this man of God giving God's message places Eli, he identifies Eli with his son's sins. Now here's what I want to say to you. When you have the power to stop sin and you fail to, then you're part of it. Now, here's what happened in this church some years back, and I just told them about it, and I know they didn't appreciate it, but they had a particular individual, had two houses on his property, and he's letting his grandchildren, one of his grandchild, I don't want to say too much, one of his grandchild, shack up on the property. He could have stopped it, but he wouldn't, because he said that was going to be her house someday. But it was his house at the time. And he could have stopped it, and he wouldn't do it. And here's what I said to him, "You're partakers of their fornication." And it hurt their feelings a little. But it's the truth. Now, when you can stop sin and you choose not to, as Eli did, then you become a partaker. Now, that puts a heavy load on you, but so be it. That's how it is. And so you see right there, the man of God said, "Ye." He's talking about Eli. He's talking about the two sons there. And he says, "You honor your sons above me. You put your children above me." You think about that. A man of God putting his children above the Lord. Something to think about, really. And we all love our family. But I want to tell you this. You better not put your kids above the Lord. Now, I don't think y'all just attack, be mean, and break off communication. I'm not about that. But I'm going to tell you this. You better, if you have power to stop sin from happening, you better do it, because God's going to hold you accountable one day. Well, I don't guess that goes over too well, but it's the truth, whether it does or not. And so I just want you to get that little truth there. And notice verse 30, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me." Now I was going to let you walk, that thy house and your father's house was going to walk before me forever, but not now. You see, God uses holy vessels. He uses real people. He doesn't use fakes or pretenders. Notice what it says, "Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor." Now, if you'll do right by God, God do right by you. I believe that's what's being said there. "And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Brother Allen said this. Was it the prayer breakfast Saturday? Brother Allen said this in our prayer breakfast. He said, "I'd sure hate to be lightly esteemed by the Lord. I'd hate for Him to just think lightly of me." Well, I would too, Brother Allen. I understand that. Verse 31, behold, the days come that I will cut off. And so here's the man of God, and here's what he tells Eli, I'm going to cut your house off. I'm going to cut you off. There shall not be an old man in thine house forever. In other words, I'm not going to bless any of them with a long life. So to speak, if I was to put that in our words today. And notice the last part of verse 33, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And then the man of God says this, and this shall be, I'm in verse 34 of chapter 2, and this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. That's the two wicked sons that Eli wouldn't correct or wouldn't take care of. Upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall die, both of them. And then notice what he says, and I will raise me up a faithful priest. In other words, you're going to die too. I'm going to get me a faithful priest. That shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house. Verse 36, and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. And I give some more things, just basically some of the same things. They're going to come and crouch for a piece of silver, a morsel of bread. And really it's a curse on his family. And here's what he's saying. It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Now, we come to chapter 3, and here's the gist of what's going to happen in chapter 3. And this is the title of my message, The Changing of the Guards. That's what I've called it. And here's what's going to happen. God is going to put Eli down or show Eli that he's soon getting ready to be put out of the priesthood. It actually happens in 1 Samuel chapter 4. But really what this is the bringing up of a new man of God. The bringing up of a new man of God. The changing of the guards. God will always have a man for His people. You can count on that. He'll raise up a man. He's always had a man. And so Samuel is going to be that man. And I just want to walk you through a few little truths here. I don't have much, I don't think, that I want to say. But we see previous to chapter 3, God has always worked through His mother or through Eli to monitor Samuel's activity. If you will notice how that read, if I can find it, in chapter 2, verse 11, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. See, Samuel, up to chapter, till we get to chapter 3, Samuel's always had somebody over him. You young folk know how that is. You don't get to decide if you're going to stay home on Sunday morning, most of you. Your mom and dad decide for you. Fact of the matter, they decide a long time ago, it's not even a decision. You're going to get up Sunday, you're going to get up and come to the house of God. That's what you do. That's what God's people do, you see. And so here's little Samuel. The very reason he's in the house of God, start with, his mama brought him there. We might say he's the product of a godly mother. Wouldn't you think that'd be a fair statement? To some degree, that's a fair statement. And so here is little Samuel up through chapter 2. He's had guardian. I'll use the word guardian. That's not the right word. But he's had somebody looking over him, telling him what to do, how to go, which way to turn. And I mean, just controlling his life. And little Samuel, he's just doing what he's told to do. But when we come to chapter 3, he's going to have a personal experience with the Lord. The Lord is going to, he's not going to speak through Eli and tell Eli what for Samuel to do, or through Hannah and tell Samuel what to do. The Lord is coming to Eli and he's going to speak to him personally. Now, young folk, and I'm already off my little outline this morning. Here's what's got to happen in your life. You have to have. And I'm not talking about salvation at this point. I'm talking about service. Here's what I'm saying. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, and be where God wants you to be, and do what God wants you to do, and your life be fulfilled, and you have the joy of the Lord, and have all the blessings of God upon your life, you're going to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you receive Him when you're saved, but I think a lot of young people, after they get saved, they just ignore the Lord. I think that. Dre, you said, yes, sir. You told me after you got saved, it was several years before you ever got serious about serving God. I mean, you just, for whatever reason, maybe the home you just raised in, maybe many reasons. But the fact of the matter is, if you ever expect to be used by God, it's going to take more than me preaching to you three times a week. It's going to take more than your mom and daddy telling you spiritually what you have to do. And God can use young people. We see that in the text. God can use young people. God can use you fellas. He can use you. Can I just go a step farther? He wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use all of us. But since we're dealing with Samuel the child, I'm going to talk to the young folk for a little bit. He wants to use you. I want to ask you this. What does He want you to do? Now, He wants Samuel to be the priest. They say, some writers say he was 12 years old when this happened. I don't know how they come up with that. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe they have some scripture and they balance it out. I don't know, but that's, I've read that. Maybe he was 12. I don't know. He may have been 15. I don't know. I don't know how old you have to get before the Holy Spirit quits calling you a child. I'm still a child of God, far as I'm concerned anyway. And so here is a child, and God is going to personally deal one-on-one with him. And that's what you need in your life, young folk. And you need to start cultivating a relationship with Him. And I want to tell you, we're living in a wicked world. And our ways are going to die out if somebody don't give their heart to God and spend time alone with Him and let Him lead and guide and direct your life. You better listen to what I'm saying. You don't have to. Samuel could have run off from the house of God. He could have said this, I don't want anything to do with it. I know what Mama wants. I know what the priest wants. I know what Eli the priest wants. I know what they're expecting out of me. I don't want anything to do with it. You can do the same thing. I'm saved. Everything's all right. I'm going to heaven when I die. And so I just don't care about the rest of it. Now really, if you have that attitude, that's a good sign you're really not saved. Here's what God puts in our heart. He puts a desire for good works. We're a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There ought to be in your heart a desire to do something for God. That's evidence of salvation. And there's several evidences. I'm going to preach on that one of these days. There's some evidences of salvation. And one of them is, in your heart, you want to do something for God. And so here's little Samuel, and God is going to show up. And I just want to read the chapter, maybe give you just a few comments. But young folk, here's what I want to leave on you tonight, if I leave anything. I want you to understand that God wants to use you. And for Him to use you, you and Him have to have a one-on-one relationship. It's not enough for you to obey your parents in the spiritual matters. It's right for you to do, but it's not enough. It's not enough just to let me preach to you three times a week. You need a personal time that you and the Lord commune together. When is that? That's in your prayer time and that's in your Bible reading. Now, there's preachers that's been called to preach. Dwayne Moore, I can't remember what age it is. Maybe 8 years old or 10 years old, he's called to preach. He's still preaching today. He's probably 55, 50 or 55. I hope I've not insulted him when I said that, but I'm just guessing. And he was called at a very young age. God calls young people to serve Him. Maybe it's not preaching. Maybe it's something else. But here's we have that account. The very fact. Now let me. I struggle with this for a little bit, but I believe this is right. The very fact that God did not go to the old man of God, but came to this man of God, sends the message to both Eli and Samuel that God is through with Eli and He's going to start using Samuel. I believe really this is the call of God on Samuel's life. Some folks might argue with that, disagree with that, but I believe that's so. God in the past had always spoken to Eli, and then Eli would pass it on. But now, God has bypassed the old man of God who's caught up in sin and honoring his sons more than he's honoring God. God has shut him out, and now God's speaking through Samuel. You see, God has put the call on Samuel's life as we come to chapter 3. Young folk, let God use you, please. Don't waste your life. I mean, if you make $1 million and miss God, what does it matter? $1 million is not anything in today's world. My, everybody's a millionaire. You can drive a truck at the Walmart if you start young and buy the stock and save your money and be a millionaire. Who cares? You're going to die and lay it down. Doesn't amount to anything. The only thing that's going to be eternal is what you do for God.
Amen.
That's right. That's why I like the Lord's work. I like to be involved in this. You know why? It's eternal. It's going to live on for 10 million years from now, be reaping benefits from laboring in the Lord's work. That's something to think about. My dad really tried to stamp that on me as a child, and he was successful. He said, "Son, all this other stuff's going to pass away. Only what you do for the Lord is going to count. When you come down to die, that's all that will matter." Brother Mike said that to you. Has a lot of regrets, not what he did, but what he didn't do. There's never been anybody, as far as I know, come down to die and say, "I regret I did too much for God." Never heard of it. Don't know that it ever happened. And so here we are, chapter 3. Let me just quickly read through it. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Here's what's going on. The word of the Lord, that word precious carries the idea of rare. You talk about precious metals, that's rare metals. Precious jewels, that's rare jewels. We're not so much speaking of the value, but we're speaking of the scarcity, the rareness of. And the word of the Lord was precious or rare in those days. It was scarce. There was not, we know there was a man of God or two around because we saw that in chapter 2. He came to Eli. But really it was very rare that God would ever speak. And there was no open vision, no public. There wasn't any such. Now all through the Old Testament, there'll be a prophet. God will give him a message. He'll come to the people and he'll say, he might say, "Judgment's coming. You need to repent." God, he'll have a message or a burden from God. But now there's no public word from God. Everything's quiet. The priesthood's messed up. The offerings and the tabernacle, it's all sideways, and God is silent. I read one time, I don't know if I could prove this, but one writer said one of the first actions of God in judgment is He quits communicating with you. Now, I don't know. I was reading I was reading after that passage where, was it Pilate or Herod spoke to Jesus and he answered not a word at his crucifixion? So that's the first step of judgment. Would not give him truth. And my, that may be so. That may very well be so. But here we know this. There's no open vision. There's no word of God being declared. God's not come down and said, you need to do this, you need to do that. But God has spoken through the man of God to Eli. And now God Himself has come to little Samuel, we're going to see, and He's going to speak to him. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down to his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Now Eli, I just have him pictured as an old man. He's heavy. We know that from the Scripture. But look at chapter 4, verse 15. I mean, just the next chapter over. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. He's an old man. Life is come and gone. His kids may be 50 or 60 years old or 70. I don't know. But here he is, an old man, and so he's laid down and his eyes is not working good and he's just not able to see. But ere, that word ere means before, and before the lamp, ere the lamp of God went out the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Can I tell you what it was? Just an ordinary day. I mean, there's nothing special about this day. They just went through the work of God. He just ministered like He always did. He didn't do anything to initiate God that night. He didn't do anything special that day that made God come by. But God, in His sovereign timing, He saw fit that now was the time for Him to move. And He came to Samuel. They just had a regular day and they're laying down, going to sleep. And notice what happened. That verse number 4, Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." He heard his name. He said, "Here am I." And he ran. He thought it was Eli. And said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. There was some confusion. Why was it? I used to wrestle with this. Why was it Samuel didn't know that it was God? And why didn't God say, "Hey, this is the Lord, and I'm going to speak to you"? Well, number one, Samuel never had seen anything like that. He'd never been exposed to the fact that God could speak to you. The word of the Lord was precious or scarce in those days. There was no open vision. He'd never seen a prophet come and say, "God said to me, this is what you need to do." He'd never seen that. He'd never been exposed. All he knew was that Judaistic ceremony of carrying out the sacrifices and all the things of Judaism. And mind, that was right back then. But there were some things he had never seen. This was new to him. It doesn't mean he was a lost boy. It doesn't mean he didn't know God and the free pardon of sin. Not that at all. This was just the way that God, he'd never seen God work like this before, you see. And so he thinks it's Eli hollering at him. I guess that was probably standard. It's probably standard back then. And so that happens 3 or 4 times. And finally Eli figures out that's God speaking to Samuel. He's not going to talk to me. He's going to talk to Samuel. Eli gets the message of what's going on, as far as I'm concerned, from this text. And here's what he says the next time he speaks to you. Let's read verse 9. "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down this place, and he did exactly what Eli told him to do. God came back the fourth time, and Samuel said, the end of verse 10, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And so here's this young fella, God's going to use him. He gives him the message of God to give out in place of Eli. But notice the calamity of this. He gives him an unwelcome message to give to people he loves. Here's little Eli, and God gives him a message. And I said Eli, little Samuel, and God gives Samuel the message, and you know he loves Eli. He's been ever since he's been weaned, Eli's been the one that overseen him, took care of him, I guess, and looked after him, and helped him along. You know he had feelings for Eli. And God said, he's going to die. He's coming to an end. Sons are going to die, and his household's coming to an end. And you know that hurt little Samuel. Now, little Samuel has an unpopular, unwelcome. Nobody wants to hear about the judgment of God on your life. Especially if you ain't living right. You don't want to know God's going to chasten you. And so now little Samuel has a message from God, and Eli knows he's got a message from God. Now what does he do? Does he sugarcoat it for the one he cares about? Or does he tell him the truth? Young folk, if God give you a message and you had to preach to people you love, you had to tell them something that you knew that would hurt them and that they wouldn't want to hear. What would you do? That's where Samuel's at. Really, I think this is another test for him, another opportunity for him to prove his loyalty to the Lord or his loyalty to his family. You might as well say Eli was family to him. Are you going to be like Eli and you're going to make it easy for your family? Or are you going to be true to me and tell him what I've said? And so the Bible says he's troubled about it. Notice verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He gets up in the morning. He just starts his normal workload. He just starts doing his thing. Couldn't sleep after God spoke to him. He wasn't able to sleep. This boy's a kid. He's a young fella. Like some of you. Ben, he may not have been any older than you are. He may have been a little younger than you, and God has put a heavy load on him. I want you to carry my word. What's he going to do? Is he going to take it easy on Eli? Notice, he lay till the morning. Verse 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He's calling him a son. You see the relationship there. And he answered, here am I. And then notice what Eli says. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? Now tell me what he said. Now it's on Samuel. Either be true to the Lord, be honest, tell him what the Lord said, or to compromise, to water it down. And mind, that's how it is in the ministry. I mean, the people I care about most is sitting right here. That's the honest truth. But sometimes God gives me something that I know you ain't going to appreciate. And I have to decide if I'm going with God or going with you all. And what kind of man of God would anybody be that sided with the people over God? Be like Eli. He's setting him down. Well, here he is. Now notice verse 18. Here's what I want you to see. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. He told him everything what God said. It may have hurt him. He may have been getting looks on his face from Eli may have been making grimaces or had looks on his face. But Samuel told him exactly what God said. And really, that's where the help is. I'm just telling you, that's where the help is. When you hear what God said, it doesn't matter what I think. Really, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks, but what God says. I'm glad I've got a source of truth. I wouldn't know anything. The way this world twists everything and manipulates everything, if I didn't have a Bible to teach me how to think, I wouldn't know anything. I can see a lot of things the world says make sense to me. Let me tell you my little story again. You heard it 1,000 times. I went into English Lit class, and this has been 40 years ago. I was in college. And the teacher said this, I still remember her name as plain as day. She said, would it be better to move in and live with somebody and see if you're compatible and then marry? Or would it be better to marry and then have 3 or 4 kids and find out you're not compatible and you have to get a divorce? Well, what makes sense in the flesh? I mean, the reason that stamped on my mind is the first time my faith had ever been rocked. It's the first time I'd ever been challenged on what I believe. I grew up just thinking the Bible's right and that's the end of it. And now here she's saying, doesn't that make sense? That's really what she's saying. She's attacking. And so I thought, yeah, that does make sense. I mean, it makes perfect sense. That's what we ought to do. And you know the story. I went to the old man of God that was in my life. And I said to him, hey, I want to give you a scenario and you tell me what's right or wrong. Would it be better? And I went through the same story she did. And without even a flinch, he said, that sounds good, but there's only one thing wrong with it. And I said, well, what? I mean, I was ready to hear it. I wanted to get the logic of it and figure this thing out. And here's all he said to me. It goes against the Word of God. Aren't you glad you got a Bible? Aren't you glad God's give us a Bible to teach us how to live? My, that's so important to us. And so now we see, I don't know how it got to that, but we're down in verse 18. Samuel told him everything. And then notice how God honors this young fellow. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Whatever Samuel said, it came to pass. God saw that he was building Samuel up. He was letting him find favor in the eyes of the people. He let none of his words fall to the ground. And notice verse 20. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Everybody knew that Samuel, young Samuel, was a man of God. A man of God. What does the world know about us? You ever just think about that? Verse 21. Now, when we started, there was the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there were no open vision. Now, the tabernacle was at Shiloh. The Ark of the Covenant, Shiloh. The Ark of the Covenant is where God meets with man. Notice the last verse. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. Now he's got the man of God. He's got sin out of the house of God. Now God can begin to speak to his people. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let me just say what you already know. God reveals himself to us through the word of the Lord. What does God think about it? Look in the word of God and see what he has to say. That's how it is. And if you don't think like God thinks, you're thinking wrong. Now, if I was in some places, I would be shouted down or booed down or whatever. But can I tell you, here's the final authority of truth. You believe God can provide, can preserve a book for 2,000 years? If He can't preserve a Bible for 2,000 years, how's He going to preserve our soul for eternity? Here's what I'm saying to you. And really, I've went a long way and probably talked too much tonight. But here's the fact of the matter. God uses young people. We see that with little Samuel. And we could pick out some other. He used a little maid to speak to Naaman and different ones. But here's what I'm saying to you, young people. You're going to have to get alone and get with God. Now, I just challenge you, spend time with God. Spend some time with God. Just decide of your day, how much of your day you're going to spend. Just you and God. Not talking to your parents, not talking to your friends, but you and God. Just let Him talk to you through the Word. You talk to Him through prayer. That's how God's going to use you. And He wants to use you. He wants to use you. I know I can't get that in some of y'all's minds, but I wish I could. He wants to use you. Get along with Him and let you and Him talk. My, that's where the victorious life is. And the devil will do anything to hinder you, but don't allow him to. Now here's what I'm doing. I'm working my way through the book of 1 Samuel. I'm just trying to give you just trying to be obedient myself. That's all I'm trying to do is obey. For a month or two, put that on me. Now young folk, if God wants me to teach really nothing more than a Sunday school lesson this evening, but if God wants me to do that, He's trying to talk to y'all. You girls, He's trying to talk to y'all. He uses young people. Well, let's bow our heads. Maybe we'll get somebody on the piano just to play a little. If God spoke to your heart, would you obey? That's all I ask. Would you just obey? And if God hasn't, you just sit where you at. My, don't you forget, God wants to use you.